Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Who is the number one guy?
Rich Eisen.
Really?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
How have you been able to adjust where you're definitely more famous every passing day than the day before, Brock?
I don't try to think that I'm somebody else or something bigger.
Today's guests, actor and host Jerry O'Connell, Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Get him while the getting's good. That's how I'm starting this program here on the Roku channel, this terrestrial radio affiliate, smart enough to have a SiriusXM, Odyssey, and more. We say hello to our podcast listeners. You get to listen to us whenever you're darn well please here on this program. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman.
Hey,
how are you?
Good, man. What's happening?
Jay Felly, good to see you, Jason.
Hey,
Feller. How are you?
Up?
DJ
hello.
Mikey D is D's Nuts is not here. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. Good to see
what's
you, sir.
Rich, what's cracking?
Let's tell you what's cracking. We got three guests coming up from hour two to hour three. And basically, in hour two, if your name's not O'Connell, you're not welcome. And, you know, that's it. We've got Jerry O'Connell, the host of Pictionary, weekdays on Fox-owned stations across the country. He's joining us top of hour number two. He's a diehard fantasy football player. I think the last time he was on, he said he was in something like six leagues or something insane like
outrageous.
That.
Outrageous.
So he's joining us on this program. And then Kevin O'Connell, later on in hour number two of the Minnesota Vikings. We're fair and balanced. We had Brock Purdy, the 49ers. Yesterday, today it's Kevin O'Connell because it's the Niners at the Minnesota Vikings. I have my top five list of most intriguing games going on in the National Football League in week number seven. Tom Pelissero will be joining us in his usual Friday spot to tell us what's going on in the National Football League here on the show. And there's lots going on. And I start this show in a way that I very rarely start it, with trivia.
Trivia.
Music.
Fella, can we get some game show?
Gentlemen.
What do we got?
Gentlemen, I would like to know, it's a very specific fact, but I'll give it to you anyway. You put your Temujin Price is Right sticker on? Okay, very good.
Do this. All right,
here we go.
Okay.
Since week 12 of last season, only three National Football League teams have won 11 or more games. Only three teams have won 11 plus football games. Chris Brockman.
I feel like I know this.
Chris Brockman.
Just want one?
Just name team. There's three of them.
The Patriots.
Three teams.
The Lions.
And?
The 49ers.
And?
The Chiefs.
Thank you. TJ Jefferson.
Those would have been my picks.
Those three.
The Lions.
You got two of them right.
Oh.
Yes, the San Francisco 49ers have won 12 games since week 12 of last season.
They're a good team.
Today, by the way, the one-year anniversary, you may take down the music.
Right.
because they got some nice parting gifts for them. They didn't get it right completely. They have won 12 games. By the way, today's the one-year anniversary of Christian McCaffrey being acquired. How'd that work out for him?
I think he scored a touchdown every single game.
The Kansas City Chiefs have won 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
Lions have won 10.
The Cowboys in, obviously.
Nope. The third team. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
What?
The Jacksonville Jaguars are in a sentence. Very good. With the Chiefs and the 49ers.
Wow.
I don't believe you.
They have won 11 National Football League games.
A Jaguar. Wow.
Or it's an angry cat.
One of those.
They're for real, guys.
I guess.
It does appear that how they finished last year
wasn't a joke.
Well, and this is what's really impressive about them. They were 1-2. They started on the road in Indianapolis. They needed a good fourth quarter to finally beat them in Indianapolis, those Colts. And, you know, week one, you can kind of say it's just week one. It's kind of preseason plus, as we say in this world. Everything's plus.
Everything.
And then week two, you get the Kansas City Chiefs at home. And lo and behold, this is funny. When I spoke to Doug Peterson in London, he's just like, okay, so we take on the Chiefs. You know, he felt like saying, Chris Jones, Kelsey, you want to wait one more week? They both come back.
Yeah.
And then the next week, they lose to the Texans at home. And they're 1-2.
Right.
And that's how they boarded a plane to London. First team to ever spend more than 1 week in London. And they won both London games. They beat Atlanta and then stuck around and beat the Bills. And then the Jacksonville Jaguars come home. They don't take a bye. They come right back home and they go ahead and beat the Colts to sweep the season series from the Indianapolis Colts and then have a short game on the road in the Superdome where Trevor Lawrence has never won a football game, losing both games as a member of the Clemson Tigers, probably because he didn't have Ohio State's plays. So that's later on. Put it all together. This is a tough gauntlet. You go to London for two. You say, bye-bye, family. You know? Well, some of them did come over. But the bottom line is you go away. You go to London. You play back-to-back games there. You come home. You don't take a bye. You take care of the Colts for a season sweep of one of the teams coming for your crown. And then what do? Short week in New Orleans. Saints fans have all day to lubricate. And Trevor Lawrence is wearing a brace on his knee.
Yeah, big
one. And you're wondering, what's this going to look like? How does a career high 59 rush yards with the brace look?
What?
And then, folks, we have a new dynamic running back in the National Football League. And he's another guy who I imagine is the same record in the Superdome as Trevor Lawrence since they played college football together. Travis Etienne Jr., who just surpassed our buddy Maurice Jones-Drew for this small record as well. First Jacksonville Jaguar running back ever, and MJD, pretty damn good. How does Fred Taylor try him on for size? First to ever have two or more rushing touchdowns in three consecutive football games.
Wow.
Three. They're running it down your throat, including with Trevor Lawrence, which is exactly why everybody loved him from college. And the passing game. Christian Kirk, remember when he signed for all that money? Everyone's thinking the Jaguars are nuts. He ran through the Saints defense to win a game or put them up in a game that went suddenly bonkers after the Jaguars took a 15-point lead. Defensively, they have Josh Allen. And then Foye Oluokun, who is a guy. Anybody who goes to the Ivy League, you got to mention if they make the NFL.
Where they went.
From Yale.
Prerequisite.
Hey, listen, if Ryan Fitzpatrick's in the building, you got to do that, right? Because I don't know if you know he went to Harvard.
He did?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Look it up.
Are you sure? Okay. Another thing.
This guy, man, tip drill, pick six. The Jaguars, do you know, right now, they lead the league in takeaways.
Really?
17.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And they got a coach who knows what he's doing. And they're 5-2. Mm-hmm. You know what we're living in right now? We are living in a world. Interestingly enough, because I know we started this segment with some trivia. You guys thought it was the Lions who had won 11 games since week 12.
Yeah, they were
have a chance to actually join that group if they beat the Ravens this weekend. The Jaguars had the opportunity to play first. But the Lions are another team that finished strong the previous year and then showed up this year and said, yeah, we're going to do it. Although they came out of the gate with a road win for the ages, as opposed to the road win that the Jaguars had. And then they didn't lose their next two. They only lost one and have won four in a row since then. But we are living in a world where it is entirely possible before the rest of week 7 hits the field that the Lions and the Jaguars are going to play in the Super Bowl against each other. We are living in a world where this is a possibility, and it's real, because, you know, I know they don't have, you know, the history. They don't have the recent history of, say, the 49ers and the Chiefs or the Eagles. And I know they don't have the fan base, if you will, that remembers the days like the Cowboys.
They were glorious.
And they don't have, you know, the Bills or the Bengals' recent history as well. They've got a history. The Jaguars have a much more successful history since coming into being in the mid-90s than the Lions have had since the mid-90s, that's for sure. I get it. I understand. You know. But this is real.
That sounds like a fun game.
And it does sound like a fun game. And I tweeted that out last night. And we put it on, our Instagram page. That we're living in a world where Lions, Jaguars is a real Super Bowl matchup possibility, and it would be a real fun game. And interestingly enough, I started looking at the responses on the Instagram feed.
Yeah.
One of them was Luke Russert, diehard Bills fan, who's like, and if it was Bills, Lions, you know, there would be a meteor that would hit right before the coin toss. But this one caught my eye. From Marty_El_Chico_DeFuego. Play it in London so I can get up at 9 a.m. and watch the last 15 seconds, which I thought was that's a great recall from a couple of Wednesdays ago with David Spade. That was well done. Or maybe Marty_El_Chico_DeFuego is Spade's burner. Great fantasy team name, David Spade's burner. But we're living in that world, gents. Because the Jaguars sure look like they have this division again. And the only team I say, you know, with due respect would be the Texans, because the Colts have already been swept by Jacksonville. The Texans are really the only ones maybe with the firepower. Can the Titans pull it together? I don't know. Because the Jaguars have got playmakers on both sides of the football.
Yeah.
I didn't even mention Darius Williams, who I believe did not pick off a pass last night. He had three games in a row.
The other Josh Allen.
Right. Aluakun.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Rayshon Jenkins, who, you know, I know you don't want to mention, he had that pick six to wrap things up on the Cowboys last year. They got playmakers, man.
Number one pick in the draft.
Didn't mention Evan Ingram. Didn't mention Trayvon Walker. Mm-hmm. Haven't mentioned, you know, Calvin Ridley at all yet.
Well, and he's disappeared.
He was kind of a no-show yesterday.
Well, I mean, yeah. But he had 100 yards in the game I called against the Bills.
Yep.
And they're 5-2. So what's the big deal? Yeah, man. Now, here's the thing. Next up for them, this is going to be fun. It's fun. The Jaguars are fun. At the Steelers, a bye week, and then the measuring stick. Then the measuring stick at San Francisco. And I'm just sitting here wondering. Again, I don't know. Let's see here. Jacksonville, San Francisco, week 10. The current Sunday night game is Jets at Vegas. You swap that one out? Put that in the nighttime under the lights in Duval?
There's no way that was protected, right? So that's
probably
free to be flexed.
I can't imagine if that's the, you know, again, the Raiders could win this week. They're 4-3. And then the Jets, as you know, are the new America's team, having just had 26 million people watch. I waited till you were drinking, so you almost one out.
You almost owe me
that one out. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out here because Jacksonville's good stuff.
Overreaction Monday podcast season preview that you and I do. Get your podcast where you get your podcast anywhere on YouTube.
Yeah.
One of my hot takes, Jaguars will be the AFC one seed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a path.
Jets being America's team is a hot take.
New America's team. People are interested.
There's a path to the one seed for Jacksonville. Man.
This is a path to the one seed for Jacksonville? Oh, yes, there is. They've got 5 wins. Let's say the Chargers knock off the Chiefs.
Possible.
Let's just tear me out.
Rivalry, kind of.
Possible.
And the Eagles knock off the Dolphins.
Possible.
Doable.
You got 3-5-2 teams. Unfortunately for the Jaguars, they're going to have to be bowing better than the Chiefs. Kansas City is a back pocket.
Sure.
Tie break to slap on the table. Just throwing that all out there, man. The Jaguars, there's a measuring stick against San Francisco in that Week 10 matchup. And then they're home for Tennessee at Houston. They better win that one, right? Then they've got a Monday nighter against Cincinnati, at Cleveland, home for Baltimore, at Tampa, home for Carolina, at Tennessee. Oh, yeah, there is. They're that good. They're good, man. They're going to win more than not. They're for real, too. If I'm saying the Lions are for real, I got to see that. And I saw them in person. That fella, Josh Allen, He is. I could not have left. Kurt Warner, Jamie Erdahl, and I, and the rest of the crew could not have left that meeting room more impressed with Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been. Yeah. You know, he brought to London his own hyperbaric chamber.
Oh, really?
Did he ask about me when he was there?
No, he did not. He asked. He said his own hyperbaric chamber.
The other Josh Allen.
And he said that his one at home, he normally would sleep in only after he sleeps, you know, he puts his kids to bed. Because he was the one who got drafted. If you remember, Josh Allen got drafted by Jacksonville with his little baby sitting on his lap, his son watching Monsters Incorporated on his phone. And right. I asked him about that in the meeting as well. I said to him, I'm like, so it was Monsters, Inc. He goes, yeah. And it was the Jaguars calling him. And he basically had to take the phone from his son's hand saying, hold on a second, I'm sorry, I got to.
Daddy needs this.
And it was Dave Caldwell, the general manager at the time, saying, hey, you're a Jaguar, you know, and his son's like, give me that back. And he was like having a tug of war with his son while he's being drafted, his dream's coming true. He said he puts the kids to bed, then he goes into bed, you know, and he and his wife he goes to bed with his wife, and then he wakes up at 1 a.m. to go in his hyperbaric chamber and sleep in there the rest of the night.
Really? Wow. Every night he does this.
That's what he said.
All right, new plan. I'm going to start doing that.
So he's a dad, a husband, and then a football player. Football. Like and every night, like that's what we honestly could not have been more impressed.
The waking with up him at and one by is him is wild, though.
Well, he's got to take care of his body.
I mean,
and he says that's what he wants to be great. That's what he wants. He thinks of greatness all the time.
Love that,
dude. The Jaguars. I'm just saying. Chiefs. Niners, Jaguars, currently most wins since week 12 last year. We'll talk about the Saints later on. Also later on in this hour, we will talk about Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines and what they're up to, or what they're accused of being up to, and what they may be up to, and what it means. Dan Wetzel of Yahoo, who helped break this story, will join us in about half an hour, a little less than that. But there's your phone calls at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, let's just get straight to it. The very popular segment that we do every Friday, What's More Likely?
Oh.
Chris Brockman will be on deck. And then there's you, again, on the phone, 844-204-RICH, here on a busy Friday, off and running.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take a phone call. Mark in New York, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. First in, first up. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Rich, how you doing? I just want to say I'm a big fan.
Thanks, pal. Where in New York are you calling in from? Where in New York?
Albany, New York.
Hey. Capital of New York State. Nice. What's in your mind, sir? Yeah.
I think I have a good question about Devontae Adams. I think the reason why he keeps saying stuff in the media is to keep the team on their toes, giving him the football.
Yeah. And plus, he's an honest guy. He always is.
Yeah.
He's reached a point in his career where, you know, short of a championship, the only thing left for him is, as he says, greatness. And he does know that for the Raiders to win games against, say, Kansas City, he needs to be the guy that is not just circled, but busts out of the circle and does Kelce-type things where it doesn't matter how you're bracketing him or what you're doing. He's going to catch it, and he's going to win it. You know, that's what I'm saying. But, yeah, I would agree with you on that. What else you got?
And I got something else about the Cowboys.
TJ, uh-oh, you're on notice.
I have also been a Cowboy fan since the 70s. And I remember back in the days when Dallas used to lose to San Francisco, and then San Francisco had Deion. We ended up getting Deion, and then we ended up beating San Francisco. I think what's going to happen now is if we don't beat them this year, I think Trey Lance is going to be our secret weapon to beat them.
Do you really?
Yep.
All right, man. Mark, you take care of yourself. Thanks for the call. Call back again soon. That's Mark in Albany, New York, where they're obviously Cowboy faithful. Yeah. I don't believe we'll put Trey Lance in. It's kind of interesting, though. If you remember, Charles Haley
did it, yeah.
Ken Norton Jr.,
yep. Yeah.
Deion Sanders. Didn't Ken Norton Jr. win 3 in a row?
Well, Norton, he defected. He went to them, so he left us.
So what I'm saying, though, is that he won 2 with Dallas and then left and went to the Niners. Yeah. He won 3 in a row. And then Deion
and
Charles Haley.
Well, Haley,
right?
He actually win one with? No, he was with us.
I know that. I you can't tell when they were with each other.
Yeah, I mean, it was
asked Steve Young.
It was so long ago.
We got to ask Steve Young next time he's on.
Ken Norton won.
Your thoughts on Charles Haley?
Good player.
And he'd be like, "Why the hell did we let him go?
But Charles Haley.
Why the hell did he go?
5 rings. Like, come on.
Whew. Him in the Hall of Fame when he came on. He was just like, it's one of those few times. It's one of those few times
that, great,
that we were sitting there in the interview room. Great. And in the back of my head, I'm like, we don't have a 5-second delay, do we?
No delay of any kind. Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, when they cast the Boys Will Be Boys movie, which I did the casting on What the Football,
yeah,
you're going to see Charles Haley come to life. So.
Oh, by the way,
by himself.
Speaking of What the Football, they have Susie has acquired next Tuesday's guest.
Oh.
Charles Haley.
No.
Tease or?
No, I'll just tell you right now.
Oh, okay.
He will not be fishing.
Oh, interesting.
Coach Prime?
No.
Oh, Sapp.
Yes.
What?
Warren Sapp on What the Football.
Next year, Coach
Sapp. Yeah, baby.
Next year, Coach Sapp. That's
yeah.
Right. That's right.
All right. It's Friday. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
It's the ever popular segment called What's More Likely? Hit it, please. Hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
Hey, Rich, let's go. Happy Friday, everybody. Let's just get right to it. More likely to be the higher total on Sunday, Bills winning margin or Patriots losses this season? Oh.
Bills winning margin, Patriots losses this season. Patriots losses this season would be what? 6?
No. I mean, for the whole season.
Oh, for the whole season.
Like 12, 13, 14.
Oh, I think the Bills win by a lot. Sorry to tell you.
Even though they only scored 12?
I understand. I just think that, Bill is like a red cape in front of these Buffalo Bills because of the dominance for all those years. You know, it's kind of funny that some of the players like on the Bills might not have been around for all those dominant years.
No, I mean, Josh Allen's kind of owned.
Because 2019 is when Brady left the Patriots and they weren't that dominant. And Allen came in 2017, you know. So,
yeah, Allen's kind of owned.
Well, that's when McDermott
him.
Came in, you know. And then Allen came in 2018. So, yeah, unfortunately for you, sir, I'll go Bills winning margin.
Okay.
By the way, you went long term. We're not going to be able to get the answer on Monday. We'll have to get it, you know, in January.
I think we know.
Okay.
I think we know.
All right. So that's not this segment's not called What's More We Think We Know.
No,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So let's
all right, here we go.
Keep it more in a box here.
1-5 home team more likely to get a win this week, Giants or Broncos?
Giants, Commanders, and the Broncos take on Green Bay. I'll go Giants. How about that?
Do we know if Daniel Jones is playing?
I don't think he's gonna, but yeah. I'll just go Giants, man. I mean, where the hell did that one come from last week on the road in Buffalo? And Green Bay's coming off a bye that is just simply not easy to do, even though the Dallas Cowboys just beat an AFC West team at home coming off of a bye. I will take a division game where things can just go totally nuts and the Giants win this one as opposed to the Broncos. I'll go Giants. It's more likely. What else?
The more likely struggling quarterback to get benched on Sunday, Mac Jones or Russell Wilson?
Oh, I'll go Mac Jones. Hell yeah. We've already seen it. He kept Russ in a game when they were giving up 70. You kidding me? Russ didn't even get sat until the very end of that game.
That's like a puppy. You rub their nose.
Well, I know it's kind of crazy, but hasn't Russ played better this year than last year?
Ooh,
like, hasn't he had better games this year than last year?
It seems like it. I don't know. I'd have to look at the.
I don't know, man. We've seen Mac get benched. They're already asking Bill, like, is it possible that Malik Cunningham sees more action?
Just rip the Band-Aid off.
So, yeah, man. Mac Jones can go up to Buffalo. Dude, even as we started the show about how good the Jacksonville team is and looks, and Trevor Lawrence still had a long day in London against a Bills team that lost Daquan Jones and Matt Milano in the middle of the game that they had just lost Trey White 4 days, 6 days before, So, yeah, again, I'm not piling on here, Chris. You're the one asking these questions. I'll go Mac Jones.
No, I came up with these. Yeah,
what's next?
How about this one? More likely to be the lower total. Lower total on something.
Is this are you sniffing around something that I shouldn't be sniffing around in a town where no green is no plaque or signpost? Are you?
Honestly,
get me in trouble here.
If you could bet on this prop, I'd be shocked.
Okay.
More likely to be the lower total. Dumb Charger plays that make no sense or Taylor Swift cutaways.
First of all, is she going? Do we know she's going to be there?
I don't know. She's going to every game now.
And she didn't show up in Minnesota, pal.
Well,
she didn't show up in Minnesota.
All due respect. He just bought a $6 million house for them. Did you see that report?
Why not? Talk about new heights.
Got to think she's going.
Okay. You know what, man? The dumb Charger plays that make no sense are, two, three a game? So, come on. You can answer this yourself. You can answer this yourself. Now, let's spend some time here. Last week, dumb Charger plays that made no sense. There was one of the fourth down plays, right?
But there was one where he didn't go for it where they should have.
Okay, and so they didn't include that one.
But they went for it when maybe you should have kicked it.
Okay, so then let's count that as two.
Okay.
A invariably ridiculous Derwin James hit that he doesn't need to do.
Yep.
Okay, that's three.
An egregious Herbert overthrow.
Well, that's not a... That makes sense sometimes. I mean, mistakes happen. I mean, that you can't put a Herbert overthrow.
But he's so elite. I mean, okay. I hate to sound like TJ, but he's so elite.
I'll even give you that.
Make the throw.
I will even give you that.
Okay.
Let's do something totally inexplicable on special teams. Just throw it in there.
Yep.
Okay, that's five.
Okay.
Let's just give pre-snap penalty on offense.
That's what I'm talking about.
Six. Even now that we've and so we're being really lenient.
An illegal man downfield takes away a touchdown.
Okay, seven. Okay. We're being so lenient on what a dumb Charger play that makes no sense looks like.
Okay,
seven. You'll take fewer than seven Taylor Swift cutaways if she shows up. I think we've answered this question yourself.
All right.
By the way, is that the most detailed scientific way of going about answering one of these what's more likelies?
I think that's well done.
What's next?
What's more likely, the Eagles score more touchdowns on Sunday against the Dolphins or Phillies hit more home runs tonight?
I love that. By the way, that was a fun NLCS game three. Fun.
Why would they
Although not for
out.
Philadelphia fans.
No runs, two hits.
Huh?
5 2/3, 70 pitches. You take him out last night.
Well, I mean, it's typical stuff.
What are these managers doing?
Yeah, I don't know. What's more likely that we'll know the answer to that or this thing?
Ooh, right.
This thing.
Get roll tonight.
What is this?
I think it's a crab or the spider. What
no, that, that's oh, a that's Kimbrel.
I know, but what does he call it?
I don't know.
The crab or the spider?
I hate this.
I will go more touchdowns for the Eagles. The Phillies, I know, are hitting home runs, but they're on the road and...
You know, got kind of shut down last night.
Not kind of. How good is Marte? Good God. Yankees almost had him, I think.
Dude, he's got a hit like 48.
Trade deadline. I don't know. Long story short, I'll take the Eagles. I think the Eagles have a good offensive night. I do. What else?
The more likely NFC West quarterback.
Okay.
To throw 300 and two tutties in a home win, Stafford or Geno?
Ha ha. You know what? I'll go Stafford just because the Cardinals always show up, you know? Yeah. Stafford didn't have that, you know, against the Cardinals last week when Cooper Kupp and Samoan Kupp were on fire, you know?
Mini Cooper.
So, yeah, man, I'll take Stafford against the Steelers coming off of a bye. Where it just is inexplicable.
Stafford didn't throw much last week.
He did, you know?
226.
But it just... And plus, he's going to be, you know, with, I guess, what? This is a Zach Evans, Royce Freeman rushing game
Possibly.
For the Rams?
Yeah, it seems like it.
What else?
All right, a couple more. More likely to be the game of the weekend, Penn State, Ohio State, or Dolphins, Eagles?
Oh, I'll go Dolphins, Eagles, even though Penn State, Ohio State is just going to be a lot of fun to watch. I'll just go Dolphins, Eagles. Just, you know, I mean, Sunday Night Football, Big Noon Fox. Those are, yeah, you know, but you know, Penn State, Ohio State has the chance to be one of those classic 4.5 hour college football games where you're looking at your watch saying, can we please get some resolution here? Because I got stuff to do.
7 overtimes or whatever.
But I'll go Dolphins, Eagles, just because I'm an NFL guy before Big Ten guy.
There you go.
But you're talking my language on both, obviously, yeah. Right there.
All right, last one. Uh-huh. More likely the team to make their conference's Final Four, Lions or Ravens?
Good one, man. I'll go Lions. Ravens might even win their division because of how tough it is. Lions are going to get a home game, people, in January in a win-or-go-home contest. Lions are going to get that game. I don't know if the Ravens are yet. So, but I think the Ravens win Sunday. I'm going to choose them on game day
you
morning.
Are. Okay.
Yeah, because, okay. Again, I've got to sit here and think, if the Lions do go 13-4, as we think they will, where are the other three coming from?
Sure.
And I think this might be one of them. I think this might be one of them, but that's good stuff. What's more likely? And then obviously there's that Monday night game, San Francisco and Minnesota. We've got Kevin O'Connell joining later on, and you can stream the NFL on Westwood One for that Monday night game and so many other NFL games for free, sponsored by AutoZone all season long. You can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, me, all season long for free, and get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Joining us next from Yahoo Sports, Dan Wetzel. I know that for two reasons. One, because I booked him. Two, because I know the plays. That's next. This is this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, joining us from Yahoo Sports is our friend Dan Wetzel. Quite the story yesterday that you and your colleagues popped out there. Where do things stand right now with the investigation into my alma mater, Dan Wetzel?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you called. I wanted to do a wellness check on you yesterday. how are we?
You know what? I'll be straight up with you. Obviously concerned and curious. To be straight up, you know, as to what's happening and what is fact, what is fiction, what is gray area, what is what everyone else does, what is exceptional as to what's happening. So I'll give you the floor on that, Dan.
Okay. Well, I think if you get rid of all the smoke and the anonymous comments and all the different stuff, right?
Yeah.
It boils down to a few questions. So you're allowed to steal signs. You're allowed to figure out signs. There is no expectation of privacy when you're waving a giant billboard, a big poster board in front of 80,000 people and a bunch of national television. So you can steal all the signs you want. The issue here is, best we can tell, because the NCAA hasn't released any of the actual details, is did Michigan acquire information while having somebody, and this is the key part, at opponents' games, previous games, off campus? You are not allowed to scout off campus in person. But that rule was written in 1994. That rule does not specify who can't scout. The presumption would be assistant coaches. Now we would have analysts. We would have anybody who worked in the athletic department, those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
But what this appears to be is you could have just Rich Eisen could go and watch the USC game and then send a report and take some videos or take a picture of the sideline and send it to Michigan and say, hey, this is what I saw. And if they ever play USC, they would be able to decipher that information. Would you be in that case a representative of the university? Which would the NCAA bylaw account to you? Where would this all go? The whole point is the bit. Now, if you read Harbaugh's statement very closely, it says, I had no idea any of this going on. I didn't direct any of my staff or any of these things. The idea that like staffers were going or anybody at the athletic department, highly, highly unlikely. It would require, I mean, the athletic director being in on it, the accounting department that's paying travel reimbursement, all that. So it's this other people are maybe acquiring this information. That is sort of a theory of the case, and that's what the NCAA is kind of alluding to. Who are these people? Are they Michigan reps or not? That would be a big thing. How would the NCAA rule on that? Did Harbaugh know that that was going on, or is it just this low-level assistant, Connor Stallion, who ESPN has cited as the person of interest, who was a naval officer, a marine officer, went to the U.S. Naval Academy, was technically a recruiting analyst, but had developed a reputation around the Big Ten as the guy who could steal the signs. Almost every team has got someone trying to steal the signs. Now, again, if you steal the signs because you're watching TV and you figure it out, or you're standing on your own sideline during the game and you figure it out, perfectly legal. Was this guy sending his friends to do it and Harbaugh and above didn't know? And he was just acting on his own because he's getting a lot. He's a young guy. He's getting a ton of recognition and a lot of benefit from it. And he wants to be good at his job and he's not running it up the flagpole. It's not a guy who's going to be like meeting with Jim Harbaugh for days, you know, hours each day or anything like that. And they just thought, hey, this guy's really good at watching the video and ascertaining these signs. So those are the questions. Who was doing the scouting off campus? Do they even count? What did Harbaugh know? Was this guy just acting on his own, or was someone else just acting on his own? Did any of the higher-ups, a coordinator or somebody else, know anything? And that's where this case is going to end up boiling down to. All the other stuff is just a lot of people shouting right now.
And then, of course, it is the last question, Dan, is you know, whatever was going on, how did that affect wins and losses? You know, how did that actually get put into play?
They won't care about that. They won't care about
it. Why not? I mean, isn't that the ultimate crux of it, Dan?
Like, because if you try to cheat and it doesn't work, you still tried to cheat.
Okay.
So, like, if this was the old days of college football and you went and gave a brand new car to a crappy recruit and he turned out not to be good and you lost all the games.
I got it. Oh, no, I hear you. Okay.
You still broke the rule.
I got
so,
you.
For Harbaugh's reputation, forget it. By letting this out there, his reputation is significantly damaged. No one's ever going to believe he didn't know. I mean, that's just the way it is. The NCAA made a very bold move by bringing this up. Now, they probably felt we have to alert these teams that there might be a competitive disadvantage and all that, but that would be something that would be weighed.
Yeah, but whether or not
you can prove some segment will always believe, well, you only beat Ohio State because you knew their signals, even though the facts may not bear it. That's the problem with this kind of an allegation.
Yeah, I mean, Aiden Hutchinson stealing signs or souls?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Course.
Like, let's be straight up, you know. But That said, you know, if you do have an elaborate scheme, as the NCAA is letting people know, and as you point out, you know, breaking the rules, you should be, you know, called into account for it. But all that said, I mean, letting teams know this is a possibility. Every single blog you read, every single story you read is that Michigan was known for being really good at stealing your signs. I mean, Greg Schiano made not one but two highly veiled at the time confusing references to something in a halftime conversation with the Big Ten Network in a game, by the way, that he led 7-0 because of some remarkably successful, you know, big play to break Michigan's defense in a way that Michigan's defense has not been broken all season long. You know what I mean? Like, so what's the point of letting people know about it if everyone kind of already assumes it, you know, Dan? So, and then how effective can it be? How effective can it be if everyone is knowing about it and, you know, switching up their signals, you know?
I would think any coach that doesn't switch his signals up with great regularity is a bad football coach. It's certainly at that high level. I mean, there were very public stories of like Clemson playing Ohio State a couple years in the playoff and Ohio State huddling. They huddled more, I think, last year in the game against Michigan because they were worried about, why wouldn't you be worried about this? You can't trust anybody. This is college football. You can't, it's football, right? They hold up the thing in front of their mouth so you can't read their lips. Like, this is what it is. So there's no, you know, I agree with you all on that. These are the rules. You can't scout off campus. Were they really scouting, though? That's the question. If we found out that Michigan was sending 6 of their staff members somewhere, analysts or grad assistants or whatever, flying them around the country to watch games, that would be a significant violation, whether you agree that that should be a violation or not. That would be a significant violation.
Sure, right.
But if it's just 6 guys that kind of know this one low-level staffer, and I don't know that's the case at all.
No, I understand.
I'm running the gamut, right? So if Harbaugh's like, you go here, yeah, you're in a lot of trouble. If it may not be a vast conspiracy. It's usually conspiracies are pretty small. They're usually very tight because they don't last. So what if it's one guy who no one's paying any attention to and wants to paint himself off as the expert at cracking the code and he's getting a little help to do it? That would be the kind of the swing. If you're a Michigan fan, maybe you hope that. But the NC rules have the rules. You're not allowed to scout. Are these guys scouts? Are they people with the university? Are they boosters? Are they just like what are they? We have so little information on what the allegations are, and that's tough for Harbaugh. I don't think too many people are going to shed a tear for him, but it's hard to fight back when the allegation is so significant.
Well, then
you cheated.
Right. So the way to,
you're a cheater. Well, in what way? We're not saying, well, that's a tough go, but that's where he's at, and that's where the NCAA is at.
So in the 2 minutes I have left, the way to fight back is to say, okay, now that it's completely out there and everyone has been officially warned by the NCAA that this is potentially happening and maybe to you, that they have now been given the heads up to do what you assume they should be doing anyway, which is switching up signals before playing any big opponent. That now they can go out there and say, here's us beating you straight up, if that is the way to go about it. Or hold on a minute, this thing actually gets put to bed in some way, shape, or form by the NCAA, the Big Ten, in short order. What are the next steps in the couple minutes I have left here, Dan?
Yeah, it would have to be, the continued investigation. Do they interview people? These things usually take a long time.
Yes.
So, like, the idea that they're just going to rule on this, and, I mean, I've heard people, oh, they'll get, you know, banned from the playoff this year. They took 6 years on the Kansas basketball case. I think we're getting this done in 6 weeks. The literal legal argument of who counts as a prohibited figure to go scout off campus, that alone would take a long time to hash out. So there are already a ton of lawyers involved in this thing. So nothing's going to happen quickly. Would the NCAA come back and exonerate? Like, if he's, yeah, you know, like, you know what? It was just this one guy. I mean, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Would they even be able to figure that out? Or would they be able to crack it and be like, look, we've got text messages and videos and all of that right away and release that? I don't know. We don't know where this is heading or going, but it's it's not as cut and dry, and there is a lot of just kind of there are some probable arguments that aren't Jim Harbaugh, a guy who I've been told doesn't know how to log into a computer, is running a massive spy operation. Okay, now, he's very smart at football, yeah. And maybe he is, but maybe he isn't. So, you know, the first inclination when you hear this story, when we first, you know, heard about it, it's like, oh, boy, you know, sign stealing and all that. But, again, it's complicated. So you get down to it, there's only going to be a couple questions that have to be answered, and none of those are really clear right now.
Dan, thanks for the time, as always. Greatly appreciated.
Good luck with it.
Thank you, sir. That's Dan Wetzel, everybody of y'all. Good luck with it. Hey, man. You know, my first inclination is, boy, if we were cheating, I wish we had Georgia and TCU signs a little bit better. But that's a little flip for something that if they are having some elaborate scheme across the country doing things that are verboten, that is too flippant, because this is serious, clearly, obviously. And, you know, Michigan will have to deal with, and as I am as well, hearing it, you know, now I know why C.J. Stroud struggled. Now I know why they haven't lost a Big Ten game since they started doing it. You know, now I know all that stuff. And so in the meantime, it'll be a rallying cry until we get concrete evidence for the team to go out and start pounding people, saying, now that you know, okay, it's on you. You switch it up. And then we'll beat the crap out of you anyway. Unless they start losing, and then it'll be, well, the reason why is because you got busted. That is exactly what's happening for the University of Michigan football program as they take on Michigan State, whose interim president said she was chagrined with this news. I'm like, let's wonder, like, her own house, where things in her own house fall on the scale of chagrined. Curious about that. Good Lord. The O'Connells, Jerry and Kevin, hour two, coming up.
Chagrin is a great word.
It is, because it means you're embarrassed by it. It's embarrassing.
Didn't know that one.
Yeah, you're chagrined. You're upset and embarrassed by it, because it's the Big Ten. And so, interestingly enough, you know, Paul Feinbaum, who you know has never taken an opportunity to not bash Jim Harbaugh,
right,
but defended him in the hamburger thing. I guess, you know, he'll take the shot here to bash Harbaugh. Hold, I'm waiting. He didn't. Hit it.
On surface, it is a bad look for Jim Harbaugh, but Greeny, in understanding the NCAA and its enforcement division right now, it's hard for me to imagine that they'll be able to make a solid case. It does look bad. There have been allegations out there in the past, but it does seem like it would be a close call by the NCAA, and I sense that there's some piling on here to Jim Harbaugh. He turned his nose to them a couple of months ago, as you remember, during this investigation. And it seems to me like selective prosecution. That doesn't mean that some of this didn't happen. I frankly think this happens almost everywhere, not to the degree that the story is laid out here, but it's some very gray area. And I think if this had been someone else, this investigation probably would not have gotten to this point.
That's Paul Feinbaum on Get Up. Greeny being Mike Greenberg, who was doing the interview. Michigan State, Michigan, this weekend. We'll see what happens next. But everything that happens will be seen through this prism. And that is a fact. 844-204-RICH, the O'Connells. Look who's coming up next. The delightful Jerry O'Connell.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams. If you ask me to call
right
my
now.
Shot, this
right
is
now.
The Overreaction
call
Monday
your shot.
Podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.